ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. I would like to give this lecture, which I'm about to hold, the title "Entering the Retreat." In this lecture, you will get many informations, which will help you first of all to come into the retreat, to enter it, and which will also help you to make the most out of it while you are here. There's one American writer who writes a beautiful poem which I would like to quote today. In this poem he describes that many times in our life we don't live our life really in full. We do not take advantage of all the opportunities which life offers us. We more or less do what we did yesterday and the day before. such a life without real nectar and without challenges and without real joys is a very mediocre life, a very uninteresting life. Or, at best, it is surviving from one day to the next. There is a common saying, most people get up in the morning simply because they have not died in the night. Hare Krishna. There's nothing in them, nothing in their life which makes their life worth living, which makes their life, you know, a fresh challenge, something they go for. So here is a poem for you, which I thought was very nice. We do not commonly live our life out in full. We do not fill all our pores with our blood. We do not inspire, it means breathe in, and expire, breathe out, fully and entirely enough. We live only a very small fraction of all the possibility that life has offered us. We live only such a small fraction of what our possibilities are. And now the question, why do we not let on the flood, raise the gates, and set all our wheels in motion? A retreat really wants to achieve this. It wants to help all of those who go on retreat to live their life in full, to put all their wheels in motion. That means use all their possibilities entirely. For a devotee, to go on a retreat means he wants to experience a life in Krishna consciousness, a life with love, Leela Shukha. Without love in our heart, our life is so ordinary, not much different from the life of just ordinary people whom we can observe all around us. Going on a retreat is really taking a second chance in our life to live it more fully. I think some of you, or many of you, have heard about my own analogy. When I was going on a retreat, I have seen that I needed to do some changes and improvements in our life, in my own life. And I learned from the story of the eagle. The eagle, how do we say, ogre? Orau, yes, the orau, is faced with a unique choice when he comes to the age of 40 years. He will either die or he will go into the mountains. He will go on retreat. If he goes on retreat, he gets another 30 full years of his life. You know, going on retreat for the eagle means to go into the mountains and to pull some feathers out of his chest, which impede his flight in the sky. It means for him to take down the talons. Talons are something like nails or claws, which have become too long for them to function. He can't land any longer, and he can't grab onto the tree branches, and so on. The eagle will also have to take down his beak, which is oversized and no longer practical for eating and so on, for grabbing his food. Only if the eagle is willing to disappear for some time and work hard on himself, can he return to another take on life. Otherwise, if he does not wish to go on retreat, he will die a painful and slow death. It takes him half a year to die like this. So, my dear devotees, the retreat which you have so kindly attended is giving you a chance to go into your own mountain, to find your own treasures, to renew yourself in significant ways, and become more able to go deeper in your spiritual life. I now want to raise a question which is very much in my mind at this time of guiding you into the retreat. A question which I find very intriguing. What do you think you have to do in order to change significantly? What do you think you have to do in order to discover a new possibility in your life? What do you feel you have to do in your spiritual life, more precisely, in order to climb to the next step in your life? What do you have to do to go on? I'm asking you. To do a breakthrough. Vineta, huh? Vijayta, nice to see you, Vijayta. Yes, what is your thoughts on, what are your thoughts on this?
You have to do something different from what you were doing before.
Yes, that's clear, yeah.
Because you can't expect to get the same results from doing the same thing.
You have to do something different than you used to do, because you can't expect different results when you do the same things all over. Vijeta, Vijeta. Matured or not?
Get some deeper realizations.
You have to get some deeper realizations in your life. And inspirations. Then you can do the breakthrough. It's a good question, isn't it? Have some of you tried to make a little change or breakthrough in your life? I think all of us have tried. Could you please remember what did you do when you were successful? Or what helped you to be successful? The answers are already very, very good. Krishna Jivani, you have an answer.
To take some risks and challenges to get out of your comfort zone.
You have to take some risks and challenges to get out of your comfort zone, says Krishna Jivani. Sundarananda. We have to desire and ready, we have to be ready also to leave the comfort zone of our old habits. I think Sundarananda is pointing us in our little research to an interesting dimension. Do you know that so much of what we do is formed by habits? And with habits I don't just mean eating habits or communication habits. I mean also thought habits, the way we think about something. So we are so much a person of habits. And we have just published, just today it's out, a book. It's called Japa Transformation, a workbook. It's all about changing habits. It's a beautiful book which you can work at, and this was the first book which I published, which I worked on and published when I went to Berlin. And we have copies for all of you. You will get them a little later. Yes. Any other ideas? Dharmagup. Yes, to make a breakthrough in Dharmagup thinks, especially in regards to chanting, I think, I have to approach the holy name with more respect. Yeah, I just can't do it so maybe sometimes no half-hearted communication or diverted. I can't be diverted. Audarya Chandrika. Did I say it right? Good. Yes, Audarya Chandrika. This is the third retreat for Audarya Chandrika. Congratulations. Yes. You have to think what is your actual goal in your life and connect with that. Mahujwala. Making small steps, but these steps are permanent steps. I mean, you don't go back on them. Oh. Yes, please help me again. I really want to... Vijeta, I knew, but with you I'm still a little bit in the darkness. Yes. Rangadevi, yes, I... Wonderful. Now I have to take time to develop a more deeper internal connection with Krishna. My dear devotees, you are all expressing in wonderful ways one word. You have to make a sacrifice. If you want to go to the next step in your life, you can't do it without yajna, without a sacrifice. There is a word in Sanskrit, yajna setu, that means the bridge of sacrifice. With this word, it is meant that you go you know, just like you want to go from one side of the river or one bank of the river to the other bank, you will use a bridge. You will climb the bridge, go up the bridge, then move over the river. It's a little scary maybe. Then you will come down on the other side, go on the other bank. My dear devotees, if you really want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you must do a sacrifice. There is no other chance for you. Sacrifice, what does this mean? Give your time, sacrifice of an effort, like Krishnaji when he mentioned, she wants to undertake a risk maybe or a challenge. Without a sacrifice, nothing remains, will change. Think of a relationship. When you are in a relationship with someone, maybe he's your friend or she's your girlfriend or your boyfriend or marriage partner, you know. If you want to bring the relationship to the next level, you can't just remain selfish. You have to become selfless. You have to make a sacrifice, in other words. Without this, nothing moves on in life. It is a principle. When Lord Brahma, the creator of this world, wanted to manifest a creation, remember? And he was bewildered as to what or who was his origin and how to accomplish his desired task to create. He heard one word. Do you remember the word? Tapas, huh? Yes, a sacrifice. Huh? He was encouraged by the Lord. Make a sacrifice, then only you will be able to create. In the same way, my dear devotees, I really want to encourage you. When you go on retreat, leave something behind and enter something new. Make a sacrifice. Give yourself to it totally. Then only it will be possible for you to go to the next step, which is, I believe, waiting for all of us. See, our life is meant to be a progressive life, and your next station is already waiting for you. Next station is saying, oh, Dharmagop, when are you arriving? Oh, Marayanti, here's your next step. How long will you be? You are a little late. Please come now. Time is there. Time is there. Oh, Sachinandan Swami, something wonderful I have kept for you. But please come and get it now. Don't look the other way. Look towards me, says Krishna always. Yeah. Now, the way in which you open yourself to all your possibilities is by a sacrifice. And what this means in relationship to what we are doing here at the retreat is we enter a liminal space. Now, a liminal space is a difficult word. You won't find it so easily in the Hello Goodbye English dictionaries. It's a complicated word. Let us see. Sometimes English speakers don't know even what this word means. Let us test our Vijayata. You know what that is, liminal space? Have you heard it already, this word? Subliminal, yes, yeah, but not liminal. I know, Vijayta. I'm driving all dictionaries crazy and English speakers crazy. Do you know what is liminal space? I'm asking English speakers, and they say, "What space?" they ask like this. Liminal space is an area, a zone which only very few people know to inhabit. It's a space which you enter when you leave something old behind, but you have not yet fully come to the new situation. I think Nityanandakari is in liminal space at the moment. I know my dear devotees from Bosnia, you are not yet at home here. You have left Bosnia and the places there and the friends, and here it's all so new and you don't even know was it a right decision to come here. You are in liminal space, Nityanandakari. If you are in that space, I don't know, sometimes I'm mistaken. It's something when you leave your habit, your old habits, and you come into a new thing. I want to tell you, in my own journey with japa, the first time I entered this space was in Vrindavan. It was Ekadasi, and I decided to chant 64 rounds. I thought, I'm anyways a very great devotee. This is not a problem for me. And I went to the Madan Mohan Mandir, I remember it was. And I thought, this is now where I'm going to do my retreat. I remember I was a great lover of prasadam, as I'm now, and in the midst of it, after 2 hours, I developed a terrible headache. I still remember, because I was not eating on that. I mean, I ate a breakfast, and that breakfast I thought should keep me running the whole day. And I was sitting there, and I had chanted already 40 rounds. And all of a sudden, it happened. I really did feel different than I ever felt before. I had made a sacrifice. I had gone to just chant and not have my material life like I always have. I was just meditating. And I was in this holy dham. The monkeys looked at me. I looked at the monkeys back. I came into a different zone. A different area of consciousness, maybe. And I must say, I was a newcomer to this land. It's not that immediately I felt very happy. I felt just very new and vulnerable, like a little baby, really. I don't even know if that is the right way to say it, because I don't remember how babies feel. Maybe not like a little baby, but like a guest in an unknown country. I didn't really know where to go, what is next. There was no one to divert my attention. I needed guidance at that time. And I turned to guidance, to my own spiritual master. I remember I prayed to him, please be with me in this nobody's land and guide me to the next place which is waiting for me. And I remember it was about 5 rounds or 6 rounds, it felt like half an hour to 40 minutes until I left the liminal space. And I must say, I didn't come to the level of ecstasy. I came back to ordinary consciousness. I thought, my God, it's time to eat, you know. And I remember I had I said, let me just finish these rounds, no problem. And then I will just eat the whole restaurant. I mean, there will be not even one piece of fruit or vegetable left after I have gone there and robbed everything. I remember this. I was so, the hunger came. My ordinary conscious functions entered, they kicked in and got me back. And I... But I do remember for this 30 minutes of being in liminal space, I gained a conviction. Conviction is the word. The conviction was, which I had not before, Krishna consciousness is real. There is a spiritual dimension. And I can enter the spiritual dimension by learning how to chant. At the moment, I'm just a beginner. I don't know how to do it properly. But if I know how to do it properly, I will really enter the spiritual dimension, which is waiting for me. I remember that. And from that day, Ekadasi day, the resolution was born that next year I would go to Vrindavan and try to chant 64 rounds every day. And I did it, and it was wonderful. It was, and from there, I had smelled something in the distance, and I now followed this. And I'm still following what I saw in the distance of this liminal space, this new land. My dear devotees, Krishna consciousness is meant to take you into new land. You are actually all very great souls who have made a decision to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead and serve Him. You know, that means you will have to leave your material consciousness because you can't see Him in material consciousness. So this liminal space is where you go when you sacrifice your time and you focus. And that's where you learn. That's where you make new discoveries. That's also where you unlearn. Do you know what this word means? Unlearn, I think it's you. The old conditioning leaves you. This can be sometimes a little new, a little frightening. It can be totally overwhelming because new realizations come, like landing like birds in your consciousness in the space which you have created for them. To enter into this new field of consciousness always means to separate yourself from the old life and enter a new life. That's why we have requested you to come to us on an island. It's so symbolic, isn't it? We go on an island. The land is far away. You need to swim 2 hours to get back. I think when we swim, we may need 3 hours, isn't it? 2 hours with a ferry? Maybe. What do you think, Irena? You're from here. Maybe 4 hours. Maybe half a day. Maybe half a day you need to swim to get back to the shore. So, that's not possible. So, then let's be ready for the adventure. We are here, on an island, and so on. Now, there are 6 powerful rules, which help you to enter the retreat, or to enter into, and we have written them down for you. The first rule, we call them pillars of success, is easy to enter a new space, separate from the outside world, to cut dependencies and usual distraction. I must laugh. Today, my usual distraction came with a bunch of this much emails. You know, during this time, I will ask Sadhanandi to write an email to everyone and says, I received your emails, but I'm on retreat. I can't answer, and I will not answer them. So I request you to do minimal telephone calls. Minimal means as little as possible. I know this is for some of you whose mobile phone never is silent, a new experience. You will see, if you don't talk with the people you usually talk to, if you don't say the things you usually say, the realization in your life will be thank you very much, that is much better. The realization in your life will be that you experience something new. Most of us, we always live in some mental noise. The noise is made by the talks which we lead and by the mind which always talks to us. Enter the new space means sing. Maybe some of you want to have a diary. Go to yoga classes. We will offer a very nice yoga program always before the lunchtime. Make new friends, but don't socialize. Pray more, meditate more. You know, enter the new space. Please don't be afraid. The second is something which is very important and easy, to join a community of seekers. Take part fully. We will hang these for you there at the door most properly so that you can look. I really request you, take part fully. That means be punctual. Come to the sessions, which will be announced after I have spoken by our organizers. And when I request you to share and discuss, open yourself up, share openly, join a new community. So all of those who are now here are very serious in the same mission which you also have, that is to become very spiritually minded. So the next thing is take complete responsibility for your experience. This is something very deep. See, this retreat is not my retreat. It is your retreat. It is not... I won't be the person who makes the retreat a success for you. It is you who have to use your time and your energy and your full commitment. In other words, trust and depend on your own abilities. Yeah. No problem. Take complete responsibility for your experience. I think that's very important. It's not that I am serving you. I mean, I will serve you like anything. My first service will be to send someone to tell this very, very, very thoughtful person to go to a playing ground with a child. This is very important. I was thinking very much about these principles. It's not that I'm writing this in order to... maybe protect myself from the devotees who come, this retreat is no good. It doesn't work for me. I mean, it has never happened because somehow devotees fear my sharp tongue, I guess. but that's not the reason. See, yes, we are a community of seekers, but the person next to you won't do the work which you have to do. It's like, you know, yes, we all may be like birds who fly in a herd, but although this is encouraging for each bird to be in the herd, and he will get strength from the birds who fly before him. Each bird still has to fly on his or her own strengths. So take complete responsibility for your experience. The person who goes on a retreat has to make the experience on his own. It's not that the experience is handed over to him by others. Fourth, it sounds a little bit scary, but it's not. Enter a symbolic death. This symbolic death means something which is described very much by Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who always says, die to live. Or what it means is, some of us need to lose ourselves first to find ourselves new. We need to lose our false selves, our paranoid selves, our fearful selves, our unconfident selves, to find ourselves as a person whom we really are. Fifth, experience a new birth. That is, practice and experience new insights and discoveries. I remember this Chinese king. His name was, let me see if I have written it down. Yeah, Ching Chang. Haribo, Ching Chang. Ching Chang was the emperor, and he would get every morning into his bathing tub. And in the bathing tub, he had a far-out inscription. It was a bathing tub, I believe, of gold. And he had the inscription, each day, renew yourself. How wise, ne? Each day, discover yourself new. Gopi, you are looking at me. No, this is not Ananga Manjari. You look like. Is it clear to you what he thought? Yes. Ching Chang. Each day, renew yourself, discover yourself anew. Don't live an automatic life. In other words, just like he was. Pouring the water over his head. Plea vodye. You know, he would think, I have to also internally discover myself. I have to wash myself, purify myself from the old waste. So this is, have a new birth, practice and experience new insights and discoveries. What I want to say is, when you discover something which is new to you, immediately do it. Just take it on board and practice your new insights and discoveries. And the last point is, be a receiver and not an achiever. I've said this in America, devotees like this, because I don't speak English very good. And you know, Krishna has something for you ready. And He wants to give it to you. So receive that. No, be a receiver. You don't please think that you have to make everything happen. Depend on divine grace. Thank you, Vanunandini. Depend on divine grace. Madhuya Leela, you look so sad still, and so many thoughts. You are sitting at the right place. Just open your heart for the new things which come. It is not really dependent on you. We are weak and disturbed conditioned souls from Kali Yuga. But Krishna has something wonderful for us and he will give it. Leela Purushottam, Krishna has something for you. You just need to be open to receive it. These are the six guidelines of our success, pillars of our success. Now comes the first exercise. I request you to find a partner for yourself. One of you will be person A and the other will be person B. So, who is person A? Please raise your hand. And who is person B? Yeah. Good. So you have all found? Someone has no partner? Lubov has no partner. Here is your... Please go to Lubov. Lubov, isn't it? Lyubov, not Lyubov. So now you need to hear what is the assignment. Listen very carefully. It's kind of difficult. Partner A. Who's partner A? Yeah. You are Krishna. And partner B you are partner A. And the question is, I will make it very clear. Krishna will talk to you about what works well in your spiritual life and what does not work so well in your spiritual life. Let me make it very, very, wait, Sharanga Thakur, would you mind to come? So, Sharanga Thakur would be person A, but he's Krishna, and I am who? Sharanga Thakur, exactly. I'm Sharanga Thakur. Now, Krishna will speak to Sharanga Thakur what he thinks, what Krishna has observed goes well in his spiritual life. And you will, and, you know, because it's very important to me what Krishna's, it's very, wait. It's very important for Sharanga Thakur to hear what Krishna says. Sharanga Thakur, that means me, in this case, will make notes. I don't want to forget what Krishna says, what works well in my life. And then after some time, we will hear what does not go so well in my life. You will be amazed what will come out. This is a very powerful exercise. Please take it very serious. Let me, before we start, is everyone clear on what you have to do? Yes? Yes. Have you, Our Mataji, please help me. I have a cold and I can't almost see it. Yes. Krishna Ragini will now take notes. What is your good name? Janava will say about Janava. What works very well in the spiritual life? Everything clear?
Doing some sadhana that you could do. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm really feel uncomfortable in asking devotees to tell it out in public. I want to tell you what is in my mind, why we do this exercise. The reason why we do this exercise is that we really become aware of what should be improved in our life. See, this is your chance. You have taken 1 week out of your normal life. You can now do all the things which you have heard you should be doing and you should improve. The retreat is particularly meant for you to do these things which you deep inside of you know you should be doing. And you will discover that during this retreat there is a lot of, I would like to say, divine help waiting for you to help you in these areas which are your own personal, very private areas of life in which you want to make an improvement. My dear devotees, I have seen wonders happening in these retreats. I remember in America we had one retreat where, you know, at the end all the devotees were just crying ecstatically tears. The kirtans which we did had such a quality that we all felt Krishna was really feelable, touchable, perceivable in the room. This can all happen to each one of you if you commit yourself fully to go into this retreat. And therefore, I really want to request you when we stop this evening session in a few minutes, to go maybe to the door where we will hang up these pillars of success. Maybe we can do it already now. And you can just go through them and go with this idea into your bed that starting tomorrow your retreat starts and you will really commit yourself to the spiritual life. See, you must know that there is one rule in Krishna consciousness which Krishna describes in the Gita. Yeya tamang prapatyante tangs tathaiva bhajamyaham, which means in the degree in which someone surrenders unto me, in this degree I will reveal myself. So Krishna is really waiting for all of us during this 1 week to give us the necessary patience and the necessary strength to go through our retreat. I would like to end this with a little shloka, a little reading from the Upadeshamrita, where you can also find how you can enter the retreat. The shloka goes like this. Then I will show you a little movie which we have made for you. Utsaha nishchayatayat tatat karma pravatanat sangatyagat satovrite sadbhir bhakti prasityati. There are 6 principles. It's favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. First principle, being enthusiastic. Give it your best. Throw yourself into it. Second, endeavoring with confidence. You will make it. You will become out very Krishna conscious. Third, being patient. No, patient. That is a little bit on the six principles. Depend on divine grace, where you are a receiver and not someone who makes it happen, not an achiever. Fourth principles, act according to regulative principles. Huh? Hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna, remember Krishna. And fifth, give up the association of non-devotees. Yes, please no television association with non-devotees. And sixth, you know what I mean is separating from the outside world. That's that. Principle. And sixth, follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Join a community of seekers, we could say. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. On this retreat, we will follow the examples of the Goswamis. And it will be very, very, very nice. My most important point today is become a receiver of Krishna's divine grace. Open your hands, open your hearts, open your minds, so that Krishna can lay or put the realization inside. And you will see, if you enter the retreat with this readiness or openness, you will definitely receive. Now, I remember how I lived in Gangotri once for 2 weeks. And I would visit this Saint Gangadas. Gangadas was blind. He had built an ashram all by himself on the banks of the river Ganga. He had put the stones to the first little temple, and the ashram was just one room for himself and an assistant. And later he had become blind, physically incapable of seeing. When I first saw Gangadas was led by an assistant to the little altar. I was at that time sitting before the altar. All of a sudden I felt something wet on my shoulder. And I looked up and I saw an old man standing behind me crying. The tears were not raindrops. The water was not raindrops, there were tears, the tears of Gangadas. He stood there and I saw he was blind. He stood before the altar. Why was he crying? It was a mystery for me which I wanted to find out. I went into the mountains and I stayed up high in the mountains for 1 week and then returned to meet Gangadas, and I asked him, Gangadas, could you please explain to me something which I have heard about you in the high mountains? I heard you were offered an eye surgery in Delhi, eye cure, that his eyes were cured for free. And I heard that you didn't want to go to Delhi for your free hospital treatment, for your eye treatment. And Gangadas looked at me, I never forget this, with his blind eyes like this, like I'm looking at you. And he said, I don't need eyes to see the world any longer. I only need eyes now to see Ram. Lord Ram. Oh, that was what Gangadas said to me. And then I understood why Gangadas went every day before the altar of Ram and why he cried. He prayed to Lord Ram for eyes to see God, not eyes to see the world. I was very moved. Then Gangadas offered me a glass of tea. Now I know it was black tea, and usually we don't take black tea. But because the tea came from Gangadas, I couldn't say no. I drank the tea. such a great soul. Who can say no? Such a great soul. So great hope is that all your eyes will open, the eyes to see God. Wouldn't that be nice, Damago? That would be so wonderful. What do you think, Ivan? That would be great. That would be wonderful. And Ante, no? Yes. Dobro. We will end the session now by our very